We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Is the Falcons' wide receiver core now completely Calvin Ridley's? What does Adam Thielen's value look like? Can Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy coexist? We're talking all that and more on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. We're talking wide receivers on this episode. As a reminder, we will be back tomorrow and on Friday. I want to point out, some of you that called in to leave us a message or a question may have had issues with the number. I apologize for that. Give us a call again. It will go much smoother this time and we will get you on the show. Curtis, I'm pumped to be back for another week. Do you have a favorite wide receiver core in the league? I don't need a fantasy breakdown of implications. There's just one that you find really exciting you like to watch.
I just love wide receivers so much. It's really, really hard to pick, but immediately off the top of my head, I love the Seahawks wide receiver core. I think that Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, they're just the perfect complements of one another. So really, really love that Seattle wide receiver core. I just wish they were used more frequently. What about you, man?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. My favorite wide receiver core right now is not the New England Patriots, which is a bit of a bummer. As annoying as they are to me, though, I am going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers just because I've had a lot of fun watching and trying to guess each week who's going to be the guy that comes out. We've spent a lot of time, though, talking about the Steelers wide receivers on this show. So we're going to pivot and talk about some teams that we haven't addressed as much on the show. And I would like to first start by talking about the Minnesota Vikings. We are going to take a little bit of a price check here. And that is going to be looking in on Adam Thielen, who I'm interested to see what you think about him. He's 30. A little advanced in age, one of the few guys that broke out late in his career. He happens to be playing alongside a player so good in Justin Jefferson that I just drafted this man at the 107 in a Triflex Dynasty League, and I feel absolutely terrific about it. So everybody knows we love Justin Jefferson at RotoViz. Where are we on Adam Thielen? I do want to point out, in 2017, he ranked 11th in points per game. 2018, 8 in points per game. 2019 was a down year, but 2020, he was back into the top 12, ranked 11th in points per game. Does this continue?
Man, that's tough. This Vikings offense is in a little bit of transition. They finally move on from Kyle Rudolph, so Irv Smith looks to have a little bit of a larger role. And then I think this year two kind of trampoline for Justin Jefferson could be really exciting. We may have just seen the beginning of what he's capable of. With Adam Thielen, I think he represents, you know, a good veteran value, but he's probably going to be overdrafted this year. I mean, last season, he was highly touchdown dependent. He did have six top 12 wide receiver weeks in PPR formats in 15 games, which is really impressive. But he also had one, two, three, four, five, six complete duds with under 10 PPR. I'm looking at the NFL Stat Explorer, the weekly Stat Explorer specifically there. If you look at his year-end totals, you know, really impressive PPR wide receiver 10, third in touchdowns, highly efficient because of that touchdown rate he had. He was fifth in fantasy points over expectation per game. But he did it a lot differently than he did in 2018 when he was the wide receiver 7, and even from 2017 when he was a wide receiver 9. So I'm a little worried, you know, if the touchdowns were to evaporate, Thielen didn't seem like the same type of player from a usage perspective last year. Clearly, you don't think he's a threat, or you wouldn't be taking Jefferson at the 7 overall spot in a Superflex format, Dave.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the thing there is, I don't think that you're going to have more than maybe even two more seasons of really strong Adam Thielen play. It kind of speaks to how excited I am about Jefferson. You know, it is interesting. If you look at Thielen's 2019, he only played 10 games that season. You know, there was the element of Diggs being in the offense, only 11.44 points, PPR points per game, jumped up to almost 17 last year. I do think that, you know, it's very reasonable to think that Thielen gets into that 14 range. I think there'll be enough targets for him to get there. But I think he's probably more of a wide receiver too. But if we're kind of taking an appraisal of his value in Dynasty at this point, I wouldn't be banking too much on Thielen producing for more than maybe this year coming, you know, the coming season and the next. So that's kind of where I am on
him. One thing that we can be sure about, I was just going to add one quick thing. The one thing we can be sure about, I mean, Minnesota is definitely going to be throwing passing touchdowns. I mean, Kirk Cousins is remarkably consistent. It throws for 25-plus touchdowns like every year. Some really cool bar bet type stats on Kirk Cousins that'll win you some cash when you look at what he's done over the last 5 years. So, and he does tend to funnel those, you know, really to only like three people. It's usually like, you know, Ben Kyle Rudolph and then the two primary wide receivers. So, you know, perhaps Thielen props up his value a little bit again in 2021. I'm betting against him at this point on the wrong side of the age, apex. But I think the clear takeaway here is this Triflex Dynasty startup, and that you got to start with one of your favorite players in the game at 107. So kudos to you.
I'm just going to point out too the fact that today you were able to grab Najee Harris just a little bit before I thought I was going to be able to take him, and I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, I'm really pumped. I don't want to derail the pod here, but I'm really pumped about the way my build is going here. So I drew the 12 spot, a couple spots after you, five slots behind you, and was able to start with AJ Brown and Tyreek Hill at the turn. Of course, in the Triflex format, we're starting a minimum of three wide receivers and up to, you know, five or six, depending on if a quarterback gets pulled in from the best ball scoring. So I start with those two players. Then at 312, grab Jalen Hurts, potential rocket ship here at quarterback for my QB1 spot. Najee Harris at 401. And then I traded. I don't know if you saw my trade, Dave. I traded up from 712 to 404. I've got offers pouring in for that 404 spot right now. So if you want to get your hat in the ring on this pick, evidently there's a player that people are pretty excited about because the offers are pouring in. So I've got my sights on a player, but I'm willing to move back. If you want to shop, we can talk after the show.
Yeah, we can. I think that we're trying to do similar things, so that we're probably not the best trading partners in this situation. But more importantly, let's do a fantasy deep dive. All right, we just talked about Adam Thielen and his age. I want to talk about Julio Jones and if he still got it in the context of playing with Calvin Ridley. Julio's 32. I think people want to hold this against him. It's felt like for a number of seasons, Julio has been in that advanced age category, people expecting the wheels to fall off. I want to point out, though, last year, highest reception percentage of his career, still had 15.2 yards per reception. That's better than what he had in 18 and 19. His air yards per target dipped just a little bit, but nothing that, when I look at it, would make me worry. His yak per reception is right in line with the average from his last five seasons. Also, if you go into the Stat Explorer and you look at his receiving map of where on the field he's getting a lot of targets, a lot of air yards, where he's converting those, that map looks pretty similar to what you would see if you went back the last 4 or 5 years. You wouldn't be, if I didn't tell you what year you were looking at in that map, that kind of like that heat map of where his receiving work is coming, you wouldn't know which year you were looking at, and you wouldn't be able to pick out a decline in any of them. In fact, if you tried, you might even get it wrong. So what this leads me up to is the idea that I'm not seeing any massive signs of decline for Julio. In the range of outcomes tool, where I'm blending a player's most recent season and then the season that came before that and building an average stat line to do some math with in a way that makes sense, you're going to see that Julio, in that context, has an average of 7.6 targets. Calvin Ridley's at 9.5. So Ridley outpacing him there. Ridley's only outpacing him by about 6 yards. Where they are separate and where they have this disparity is that Jones just scores about half the touchdowns of Calvin Ridley. So I expect as we move forward, I wouldn't be shocked if you still see Ridley outscoring in terms of PPR per game, Jones by about 3 points per game. But I think that some people think that there's this dichotomy that as Ridley continues to step forward, Julio has to step a lot farther back, especially as Julio gets older. I am not really buying that. If you look at 2019 and 2020, there's 4 out of split games when Calvin Ridley didn't play. Sure, Julio put up 24 points in those games, which is crazy, versus just 16 when Ridley was there. But 16 is still a pretty strong number. And
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And then the final thing I'll mention is if you look at wide receivers 32 and older that put up good seasons, you see guys like Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Ed McCaffrey, Chris Carter, Hines Ward, Marvin Harrison, Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Isaac Bruce, Anquan Boldin, Terrell Owens. Those are all ridiculously good players, and I don't think anybody's going to argue that Julio has been an absolutely elite wide receiver his whole career. So when I look at Julio, I think he falls into cohorts with players like that. I don't really see him slowing down. I think at least for the next season or two, you're still looking at a player that you should be interested in rostering. What do you think, Curtis?
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings. A 4-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
If you have loved ones that rely on your income, you need life insurance. But finding the best quote shouldn't take a lifetime. With Policy Genius, you could save 50% or more by comparing quotes from America's top insurers. First, head to policygenius.com. In minutes, Policy Genius will compare prices starting at as little as $1 a day. You might even be eligible to fast-track your coverage with a no-exam policy. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team handles all the paperwork and red tape. If you have any questions, their team of licensed, independent experts is on hand to help. In fact, Policy Genius's award-winning service has a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Make today the day you cross life insurance off your list and get protection for your loved ones. You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes. To get covered, head to policygenius.com today.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colm Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
Well, let me first say, I think that was an excellent breakdown all around. I think Julio certainly has not slowed down, and he certainly fits the profile of a future Hall of Famer, athletic freak that, you know, it's totally reasonable to say he's going to hold on to his differentiating talent for longer than others. Or he was so talented at a younger age that even as that talent declines or that athleticism declines, he's working with so much more that he's still a plus player. My concern with Julio isn't about whether he still has it or not. My concern with Julio and potentially Calvin Ridley is the changes in Atlanta this season. So we look at Arthur Smith coming in here to run this team. And I mean, the Titans threw the ball like 485 times last year. And if he has his way, Atlanta is going to ground and pound. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. Their defense is so bad that I think they'll be insulated a little bit from that. But it just depends. You know, well, let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see what they do kind of in the post-NFL draft, free agency period as well. I have a feeling they're going to be one of these teams that could invest in a running back early. They're leaking that they are fully behind Matt Ryan and don't intend to take a quarterback at that number four spot. I think looking for potential suitors there. So a lot going on. It seems like a team that wants to win now, and Smith is certainly going to run the ball. You know, they're not these 625 plus passing attempt seasons that we're so accustomed to seeing from Matt Ryan, I think are in the rearview mirror. I would expect, you know, Dave, later this summer when you start doing all of your projection work with our great projection tools, you'll end up deep in that research and model this a little bit more like a 2017 Falcons season where they threw the ball 529 times, or maybe even going back to 2008 when they're throwing in the low 400s. So you know that's gonna be the thing for me is the situation in Atlanta. But I totally agree. Age related concerns are definitely not a reason to fade Julio.
All right. Well, I hope that it doesn't turn out being a situation where they scale it back that much, because I would still love to see Hayden Hurst and Russell Gage be guys that get some level of usage so that we can still talk about them. But I digress. All right. Cortland Sutton returns this year. He's going to be playing alongside Jerry Jeudy. It's interesting, Curtis, because we've got to see a season out of both of these guys on their own. They're going to be coming together. Big question is going to be the quarterback play. I read today that it seems like the Broncos were trying to get Matthew Stafford in. We don't know exactly what they'll do in the draft if they're going to address the quarterback situation. But as we look at things right now, do you have any thoughts on this tandem and if they can both be productive in fantasy in 2021, keeping in mind that they also have Noah Fant, a tight end that I think they need to get involved as well?
Yeah, the last player you mentioned there is the reason that I'm not super high on either of the receivers. Noah Fant has really looked like a player on the cusp of eliteness at the position. And for Sutton and Jeudy, it's not even just those two. You know, we've got KJ Hamler in the picture, who our whole team was high on last year as well. It's good as a Broncos fan to see all this young talent potentially, you know, it's so much talent that when it's on the field together, it can either elevate Drew Lock or help a veteran, you know, really kind of revitalize that attack there in Denver. But I just don't see the point in paying market price for Sutton or Jeudy when it's very difficult, you know, kind of predict who's going to be the alpha dog, if you will, in that offense. You know, speaking of the veterans, you know, it'd be interesting to see how people would view this team if maybe Jimmy Garoppolo moves over to Denver. Maybe San Francisco finds a trade partner in the opposite conference. They're not going to, you know, have to face him after moving him. You know, that would be pretty interesting. If we found a quarterback that had that history of accuracy and efficiency as an upgrade over Locke, who's been pretty careless over the course of his pretty short career thus far. So I guess I'm kind of punting the answer by saying I prefer Fant and will fade Sutton and Jeudy. If you make me pick one, I will probably pick Courtland Sutton because I think he's more of a matchup problem because of his size and Jerry Jeudy, you know, he sticks out as not being an athletic plus. You know, he's the technician, and I'm not sure they have the quarterback that can take full advantage of that. We see that in the stat line last season, targeted 113 times, just 52 completions to Jeudy. I think he's a player that thrives on timing and being on the same page as his quarterback, whereas Sutton can kind of body you up and go up and get those jump balls. So who would you choose, Dave?
You know, it's interesting. I actually was in a chat on Clubhouse last week where we were talking about this, and I wanted to, when I was just going off my head, pick Jerry Jeudy. But then I did a little bit more research. I pop in right now. I'm looking at the adjusted yards per attempt app. Sure enough, as you pointed to, we see Noah Fant on the top of Drew Lock's list with 7.56 adjusted yards per attempt. You move down, you see Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton is over the 7 yards per attempt mark. Jerry Jeudy all the way down at 5.58. The player following him is Melvin Gordon. Not a spot where you want to be. I think it kind of speaks to the fact that perhaps this is just not the best fit for Jerry Jeudy right now. So it's hard for me to disagree with you. And I think via that, I have to say Courtland Sutton probably is a better option right now. But I think your point is that maybe we're just not going to be able to get out of these guys what we would like to see.
Yeah, I think a veteran quarterback would certainly be a veteran quarterback who has a history of accuracy and being a little bit more precise. I mean, Drew Lock is a little bit more of that improvising type quarterback who he's naturally going to do better, you know, with physical matchup type receivers or speed demons who can get open deep. And, you know, Jeudy, I think, was a little miscast last year. You know, 1,522 air yards last season. That's more than Sutton saw in either of the previous 2 years. I'd really like to see Jeudy operate on more short intermediate routes, almost be used a little bit more like Calvin Ridley early in his career. But that's just not the way the team drew it up with Jeudy last season. So I think we found alignment on that, leaning towards Sutton, but it'll be interesting. We could change our opinion after Denver gets done with their quarterback search.
Yeah, for sure. So a team that does not need to engage in a quarterback search is the Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins really emerged last year. A.J. Green has moved on. I want to consider T. Higgins in the context of what he does to Tyler Boyd. You know, Tyler Boyd, I think, has been one of those players that people like to overlook season in and season out, yet there's reliable production from Boyd. You know, he's been a player that I've had on some teams who's made a difference. Can he remain a difference maker when T. Higgins really usurps this offense, assuming that you think this offense really is T. Higgins now? And I guess the other element is, this whole discussion could become moot once they grab a wide receiver in the draft, or I should say if they grab a wide receiver in the draft, because that's not set in stone.
Yeah, and all the rumors are Joe Burrow really angling for Ja'Marr Chase there, which is really, that would be the luxury pick of all luxury picks. You know, if you're a Bengals fan, as exciting as Chase would be, you almost have to be rooting against that. You know, you'd like to see him invest in an offensive line pick so Joe Burrow doesn't tear another ACL again, or, you know, maybe some other wide receiver feels like such a luxury when you're starting your room with a dependable guy like Boyd that showed great. I mean, really did show great chemistry with Burrow earlier in the season. But your point with Higgins is well taken. And Boyd's expected points last season fell versus 2019. And, you know, I expect that Higgins is going to get the majority of those high value targets. As I talk through this, I'm jumping into the RotoViz Game Splits app, and it's that easy to use. I can literally, you know, run these diagnostics as we're speaking. I'm going to pull up just real quick Tyler Boyd's splits with and without Joe Burrow. You mentioned the splits with and without Higgins, but with and without Burrow. So in the 10 games Burrow played, what's really interesting, Tyler Boyd, 10 games with Burrow, 16.18 PPR per game, on pace for 259 over the course of a full season. That's very similar to what we saw in the seasons before 2020. And then out of that split, when you're getting the likes of all the retreads that they were throwing out there, what we had, did we get a Ryan Finley game? I can't remember who even played at the position for Cincinnati last year at this point. It was that forgettable. Just six PPR a game in those five other games, sans Joe Burrow, for Tyler Boyd. So, you know, perhaps that chemistry returns. I would like to think that Cincinnati's an ascending offense for fantasy purposes. And if Joe Burrow turns out to be the superstar he was at LSU, I mean, he could even potentially prop up three receivers if the Bengals go the route of adding Chase. We certainly don't want that for fantasy purposes from a volume and target market share perspective, of course. Tyler Boyd, to me, he's the new Jarvis Landry. I think you allow his ADP to fall and you gobble up the shares and you're happy with what he gives you. He's probably going to outperform his ADP wherever it lands. So that's kind of the way that I view him. But I think with a player like Higgins there, that from like a freak score perspective and just what we saw from him in college, he really looks like more of the touchdown scorer if Cincinnati ever puts it all together. And he would be the one that is that, you know, potential, you know, top six overall wide receiver. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much in lockstep with you there on those opinions. I really like Tyler Boyd. He fits this mold of a player that I really like because I can also, when I'm structuring and thinking about how I'm going to draft, know that there's a good chance Tyler Boyd is going to be able to fit into my draft in a position where I want him. I do think that T. Higgins is just super talented. I've definitely been looking at a lot of tweets from Sam Wallace, which may influence me there, right? Because we know that Sam loves T. Higgins, but I absolutely get it. I think he's on pace to be a star in the league. Hopefully we see this Bengals offense continue to improve just without a new wide receiver so that these two can continue to really, really flourish. But yeah, I mean, it's an exciting offense. And I like the outlook for both of these guys.
Yeah, just to bring this episode kind of full circle here, at the top of the show, you asked me, you know, what wide receiver core do I like in the NFL? And I said the Seattle Seahawks. And this Bengals, this situation with Boyd and Higgins feels a little bit like the Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf dynamic there, where you have the bigger, sexier name, just the bigger overall player, the bigger athletic spectacle being drafted far above a player who really could potentially score the same or more fantasy points. So it's a nice situation there. And since he, you know, getting a piece of that offense via Tyler Boyd with what a 4, 5, 6 round ADP difference potentially. So yeah, it's good to be in alignment there as always, Dave.
Yep. And we know you like Tyler Lockett, but a lot of people hate him. So I always enjoy when you have an opportunity to talk about your boy, Tyler.
Early and often when Seattle comes up, Tyler Lockett's going to get brought up, and all he does is win fantasy weeks and win fantasy leagues for you. And, you know, just because he lays a few eggs here and there as a guy who gets drafted as a wide receiver 4, but gives you borderline wide receiver 1 output, I guess people, they want it all. They want to spend a 80th overall pick on a player that's going to be a wide receiver 1 every week, Dave. That's what the people want.
They certainly do. That does take us to the end of this episode. Again, want to win a t-shirt? Call the now working number. It was working. It was just a little confusing. 978-615-9214. You'll get brownie points if you try it again. Give us a call. That does it, though, for us. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.
Shh.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.